And so I wanted to go ahead and give you that opportunity to make your offerings. We have people who are texting to give at 322-1413. You can also give at riverchurchnola.com. And so, you know, it only took me 3 years to figure out how to make our website live and work. So I would love it for you to go check it out. We change it from time to time. We'll be adding to that as keeping information on it as we can add to it. But you can also watch any of our messages later on that website. They're not live, but you can go catch them. And you can give at riverchurchnola.com. You can also do it the old-fashioned way and mail it to 2418 West Bank Expressway in Harvey at the church. The zip is 70058. Or you can click the link on the emails that you receive. So it's just a time when you can stay faithful. I want to thank you because so many of you have risen to the challenge. I mean, you have risen up. You've ventured into the online giving when maybe you were a little afraid to. And I know whether it's our Faith Life giving or through Breeze, that it is secure for you and you're going to be all right with that. And so we appreciate you doing that. And it enables us to continue doing ministry at the church. We're getting some repairs done at the church. Nothing hugely major. We had an air conditioner go out, and then we're getting some tile repaired and stuff like that. And so we're beginning to look at chairs as well to replace the pew. So be praying about that if you would. But today, I actually want to talk about prayer. Pastor Kathy touched on that. And I want to talk about prayers that'll be answered, you know, and how many of you, you want your prayers to be answered, right? The problem is most of us want them answered our way. And so, but we need to be getting them answered, God's way. And so we want to be able to do that. And so I want us to look at, some passages. We're going to look at a couple of passages and then we're going to kind of camp out in 1 Kings. I love stories about Elijah. That guy was amazing. But first, I want us to listen to Amos. And in seminary, I wrote like a 27-page paper on Amos, most of which of that I've forgotten. But I wouldn't mind finding it, going back and reading it just to see how. Hopefully, I've learned something since then. But in Amos chapter 4, God is telling the people of Israel this. He's saying, "Go ahead and sacrifice to idols at Bethel and Gilgal. Keep disobeying. Your sins are mounting up." Not exactly what you want to hear from God. I mean, he said, go ahead and go to church and make all your sacrifices because your sins are piling up. He said, keep disobeying. Your sins are mounting up. Sacrifice each morning. Bring your tithes twice a week. He's almost taunting them. He says this, go through your proper forms and give extra offerings. How you pride yourselves and crow about it elsewhere. These people were going to church for show. But then he says this, I sent you hunger, says the Lord, but it did no good. You still would not turn to me. Then he said, I ruined your crops by holding back the rain 3 months before they were harvested. And then I sent rain on one city, but not on another. And while the rain fell on one field, another was dry and withered. He said, people from two or three cities would make their weary journey for a drink of water to a city that had rain, but there wasn't ever enough. And you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Then he says this, I sent blight and mildew on your farms and your vineyards. The locust ate your figs and olive trees. And still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, Lord, I am pointed straight to you. But he's talking to these people that wouldn't return to him. And then he said this, I sent you plagues like those of Egypt long ago. I killed your lads in war and drove away your horses. The stench of death was terrible to smell, and you refused to come. He said, I destroyed some of your cities as I did Sodom and Gomorrah. Those left are like half-burned firebrands snatched away from the fire, and still you won't return to me. And then here's the scary part. He said, therefore, I will bring upon you all these further evils I've spoken of. Prepare to meet your God in judgment, Israel. Now, the reason I wanted to read that is a lot of times we're thinking that difficulties are what that difficulties are actually God's judgment. I know people that are wondering, you know, was Katrina God's judgment on New Orleans? Is COVID-19 God's judgment on America? I've heard all kinds of thoughts about that. Well, it's God's judgment on the whole earth if it is. But I want you to think about it this way. These difficulties are actually a call for us to repent and turn back to God. These are difficulties. We haven't faced God's judgment. He wants no one to face his judgment. So he's letting these things happen, and he's wanting us to turn back to him. Matter of fact, I want you to read what James, the half-brother of Jesus, had to say. He said, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Then he says this. I mean, he wants us to pray so that we can receive healing. He wants us to confess or admit our faults and pray. And then he says this, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great results. And so Elijah was a righteous man. And we're going to look at this passage. He goes on and says, Elijah was as completely human as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. So he's saying that the earnest prayer of a righteous man does great wonders, and that's what happened with Elijah. Elijah was certainly a righteous man. And then it says, then he prayed again, this time that it would rain, and down it poured, and the grass turned green, and the gardens began to grow. Now, see, here's Elijah. He's calling out Elijah. James is saying, hey, look, a fervent prayer of righteous people affects much, that you can see wonderful results out of that. And certainly Elijah was a righteous man. Now, before we get into the 1 Kings passage, I want you to, the story most everybody knows is the story where Elijah met with the prophets of Baal. And he had the prophets of Baal get their altars together. And he said, now call down fire from heaven. And if your altar catches fire, then your gods are real. But if mine catches fire, mine's real. And they danced and they yelled at God and at their gods, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, pour water all over my altar. Pour it until the land was just full of water and the wood was soaked. And then he looked up and he said, God, so that they'll know there's a God in heaven, send down your fire. And he called down fire from heaven, and they just killed all the prophets of Baal after that. And all that had just happened. And then here's what happens in 1 Kings 18, verse 41. It starts. It says, so then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink. Ahab was the king at that time. He said, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Now, mind you, it has not rained in 2.5 years. There's no cloud in sight. Just had fire come from heaven and burn everything up. And it says, so Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. Now, my wife and I have been there, and Mount Carmel's way up there. And so he bowed to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. I don't know about you, but that's hard to do, just to get my head between my knees, and it's too much eating, I guess. But he bowed and he prayed with his face to the ground between his knees. And here's what happened. Then he said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Now, Elijah's praying for rain to happen. And so he sends the servant out and said, what do you see? As you look out, you can see for miles, hundreds of miles off the top of Mount Carmel. And the servant comes back. Matter of fact, 6 times the servant comes back and says, I don't see a thing. And Elijah kept praying. Let me ask you, I wonder how many of us would keep praying for God to do something, and 6 times in a row, we see nothing happening. I mean, my goodness. And then finally, it says on the 7th time, his servant said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. I love this. Elijah tucked his cloak in his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah beat him there, and he was being pulled by a horse, and Elijah was on foot. And let me just say, Elijah prayed, and the rain came. I want our church, as Pastor Kathy was talking about, to be a church of prayer. I want us to see answered prayer, and I want us to see miracles. And you don't do that with drive-by praying. And so we're going to, as she called it, we're going to look at what Elijah did here and how we can press into God. Somebody said this, in relation to his people, God only works in answer to their prayers. God only works in answer to their prayers. That's pretty heavy. And so R.A. Torrey said this, nothing lies beyond the reach of power, but that which lies outside the will of God. So we want to be praying, and we want to be praying inside the will of God. Look at this one. Somebody said, when we depend on organizations or government, we get what organizations can do, and that's something. And then he said, when we depend on education, we get what education can do, and that's something. When we depend on money, we get what money can do, and that's something. When we depend on singing and preaching, we get what singing and preaching can do, and that's something. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. And let me tell you, that's what all the churches, that's what all the homes and schools and individual, we need what God can do. We need what God can do personally in our lives. We need what God can do in our families. And certainly our world needs God to do something, not just with this coronavirus, but with our political situation, with the crime situation, with all types of things. So how do we get to what God can do? How do we get to God to do what he wants to do? And we do that through prayer. I'm talking about prayer from our hearts. Prayer from our hearts. And so here's five things necessary that I think for us to, whether we want to have personal revival, revival as a nation, or see signs and wonders and spiritual blessings. One, we've got to pray with integrity. We've got to pray with integrity. You can write that down in your notes. It says here in 1 Kings 18, verse 42, it says, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Elijah went and prayed while everyone else went to eat. So Elijah, he had integrity before God. He prayed. Now, you know, Elijah, we typically look at Elijah, we see him calling down fire from heaven. We think of Elijah as almost like Superman, right? I mean, he did some miraculous things in his time as a prophet of God. But here's the thing. Elijah is just like you and me. Look at what James 5:17 said again. James 5:17 said Elijah was as human as we are. It means Elijah had fears like we do. Elijah worried about things like we do. Elijah had the capacity for great faith. But when Elijah prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, no rain fell for 3.5 years. Now, how many of us would have the faith to pray for something and say, this is not going to happen for 2.5 years, rather, or 3.5 years? And so, that's a big deal. Elijah was just like us. The Bible also says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, Elijah was a righteous man. And so we know that God doesn't listen to the wicked, but he listens to those who are righteous. It says this, Psalm 66:18 said, if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would have never listened. See, God doesn't look at us when we have sin in our lives. And then, so you might be saying, well, Pastor Robert, well, how do we become righteous? I mean, I'm not perfect. Neither are you, and neither am I. Elijah wasn't perfect, but he was righteous. How do we become righteous? God gives that to us. There's an exchange. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's an exchange takes place. And here's what the way Paul described it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God in the spirit realm makes you righteous when you receive Jesus as your Savior. He takes your sin upon him, upon Jesus, and gives you that righteousness. So we've got to accept that righteousness from God, and which means we've got to turn loose of control of our lives. We've got to release each area of our life to the Lord. I can't be holding on to sin and expect God to be answering my prayers. Matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever heard how they trap monkeys. You know, I mean, monkeys are cute little critters that swing around on trees and stuff. But in Asia, they trap monkeys by tying a coconut to a palm tree and put a little bit of rice in the coconut. Well, the monkey will come along. He'll stick his hand in the coconut and he'll ball up his fist with that rice in his hand. He can't get his hand out of the coconut with his fist balled up. And so then the trappers just come along and he sees them coming and he wants to get away, but he won't turn loose of that rice for anything. And so they catch him. And it makes me wonder how many people we know that are like that, like a silly monkey, that you're holding on to something in your life and allowing yourself to be trapped. And to prevent your prayers from being answered, to prevent God from doing what he wants to do in your life because you want to hold on to something from your past. We've got to be able to turn that loose and allow God to fill us. And you know, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And so therefore, if you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We've got to be willing to turn loose of those things in our lives. We've got to confess those things to God and get healing. And we've got to, then we'll be made righteous and then God will hear our prayers. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to pray with intensity. I'm not talking, you know, Pastor Kathy mentioned it. God, this isn't a time for drive-by prayers. I don't know about you. I'm guilty of drive-by prayers. I think it's all right to pray drive-bys throughout the day. But we've all got to have a time in our day when we just get up close and personal with God. And so we got to pray with intensity. It says here, so Ahab went out to eat and drink. But Elijah, first of all, he climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. That's not a small mountain, and it's not an easy climb. And he bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees. I mean, he was on the ground. He was praying. He got up by himself to pray. He understood what Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when Jesus said, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jesus says, hey, look, get off by yourself. And you pray. And I mean, you do business with God, and we need to do that. Elijah meant business. I mean, he bowed to the ground. His head was down. His knees, you know, were around his ears. I mean, he couldn't hear what was going on around him. He had his mantle over his head, and he was in a position of prayer. He was in a position where he couldn't see what was going on. He didn't want to see the bright sunshine. He wanted to know that rain was coming because he was praying for rain. And so he prayed for rain. He didn't want to see that it wasn't there yet. He didn't want his faith to be tampered with by what he saw. And sometimes when we get into the presence of God and we get away from all the TV and all the things going on and we can hear from God, then our faith will remain strong because you might still be sick, but God, the healing's coming. You might still be unemployed, but the job is coming. You don't want your faith to be dampened by what you see now. And finally, on the seventh time, the servant came back to Elijah and said, hey, I see rain. I see a cloud, a little bitty cloud. You know, most of us would have gotten up after the first time, or maybe the second time when the servant came back. But Elijah didn't. He prayed intensely, and he kept doing it. Jesus prayed with intensity. You heard Pastor Kathy talk about when he was in the garden and he prayed, Father, if there's another way to do this, the Bible even says he sweated drops of blood. That's intensity right there. And so we know that Jesus prayed that. He said, but He said this, it was said about him in Hebrews 7, chapter 5, verse 7. It says, when Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. I mean, you know, Jesus cried out to God. He was passionate. He was intense in his prayers. There's a story about an old pastor that was called to a home to pray. A man, matter of fact, he was a drunkard, called this old pastor to come and pray. And the pastor said, why are you calling me to pray? You never called me to come pray. He said, my wife, we just got a diagnosis. She's got cancer and she needs you. We need you to pray. And while he was there, this guy's mom, a saint of a woman, a praying woman, showed up at the house and she came and they sat at the kitchen table and they began to pray for this guy's wife. And the pastor was praying and the guy said, pastor, you ain't praying. And so the pastor was a little perturbed, man, you're interrupting my prayer. And he said, so he started praying. This time he prayed a little more intense. He prayed a little louder. And the pastor said, the man said, pastor, you still not praying. And so they began to pray again. And the pastor noticed that the guy's mama wasn't at the table anymore. Then he heard something in the next room. And so he walked into the next room and there was this godly mom. She was on her face on a rug in the room with that man's wife. And she was crying out to God for her drunkard son and for his wife who had cancer. You see, this young man, even though he wasn't serving the Lord, he knew what prayer was because he had had a mama that cried out for prayer. My wife grew up with a mama that she could hear through the walls of the house crying out to God on behalf of either her or sisters or someone in their church or for our nation. My wife cries out to God like that. And the question, I guess, for us tonight is, do we pray with that kind of intensity? Jesus did, and I know I need to more and more, probably you do as well. We need to pray with intensity. Number three, we need to pray with authority. Elijah prayed with authority. Look what he said. He said, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink. I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. How could Elijah pray with that kind of authority? I mean, you know, can I go out and pray for rain that it's going to rain? It already did today, but can I go out and pray for rain that it's going to rain again? No, I've got to get a word from God. And that's what Elijah had gotten earlier. If you looked at verse 1 of this same chapter, it says, later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I'm going to end the rain. And that's what Elijah did. Elijah prayed with authority because he had heard from God and he was praying in God's will. He had faith that God would do what he said he was going to do. Let me tell you, you can't have that kind of faith without the word of God. You can't have that kind of faith. As a matter of fact, Paul said, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Tonight, you're hearing the word of God, and this is going to raise your faith level. And so God has always, that's why we have books and magazines. That's why we preach from the Bible at our church, is we want to raise your level of faith. It takes the word of God to do that. And listen, a lot of us, we wouldn't have prayed maybe because we'd already been told. God said, hey, look, I'm going to make it rain. So why do I need to rain? Why do I need to pray if it's going to rain? Because God moves when his people pray. And here it was. There was already an answer, but I want to submit to you tonight that the answer, that what Elijah knew God wanted to do and was going to do, prompted him to go to his knees and pray. That's what prompted Elijah to pray. The word of God is full of promises that are never realized because God's people don't go to their Lord in prayer and seize on those promises. So the promise of what's going to happen shouldn't drive us away from prayer. It should drive us to prayer so that it's going to come to pass. Now, people also say, well, look, does that mean I can pray for whatever I want? No. Unless God's given you a word, you can't pray with that kind of authority. That's why it's important for you to be in the word of God and listening to what God is telling you through his word. We want to pray with authority. And, you know, you might be praying for somebody, and yet God might be using that situation to turn their life around. You know, I've prayed for God to spare people of, of some misery and stuff. And maybe that misery was what God was going to use to change their life for the better. And so God is going to do what God's going to do. It may get a little worse before it gets better. But somebody said this, prayer does not bend the will of God to fit your will. Prayer finds the will of God and gets in it. And so that's what happens when we pray. We're seeking to be in the will of God. And I mean, if you look back at Amos, I mean, God brought drought. He brought floods. He brought no food. He brought too much food. I mean, he brought all kinds of, he killed the firstborn like he did in Egypt. He brought on all these plagues, but they didn't repent. But when Elijah prayed for rain, he prayed with authority. And now he first prayed for the fire to fall. I mean, yeah, I want you to understand the fire of God had just fallen. In other words, it's a cleansing fire. When the fire fell, God consumed Elijah's sacrifice. He consumed the prophet's sacrifice, and he had Elijah kill all the prophets of Baal. In other words, there was a cleansing. You can't have the refreshing rain until you have the cleansing fire of God. In other words, you've got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ before God is going to hear and answer your prayers. Too often, we want the rain without the fire. We want this virus to go away, but we don't want to repent and turn to God. Let me tell you, God is trying to get our attention. He wants us to turn back to Him. And then, but instead, we have people that say, hey, it's not faith in God that's causing our numbers to go down. It's what I told you to do, and you doing that. We've got leaders that have said that. Let me tell you something. It's God that's causing the numbers to go down. God wants us to repent and turn to Him. We need to turn to the one who wants to end this virus and who will end this virus and the one who can end this virus, and that's the Lord. We can pray with authority when we've turned to the Lord and gotten a word from Him. The next one, number four, real quick, is we need to pray with humility. Now, the one thing I love about Elijah was bold, right? He was bold. I mean, he went to a king and told him to shut up and sit down, basically. But yet he humbled himself before the Lord. Look, it says Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the Mount Carmel and he bowed low. When we bow our heads, you may wonder, why do we bow our heads in prayer in church? Well, we bow our heads as a sign of humbling ourselves to the Lord. And that's what Elijah did. He humbled himself. You know, the all-time classic verse on prayer is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we've got to come to God humbly. We humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their lands. We have got to humble ourselves for God. Elijah was bold, but he humbled himself before God. How could he do that? How could he go and tell a king, you're the problem? Well, you see, Elijah could do that because he had spent time with the King of Kings. And let me tell you, when you spend time with the King of Kings, you don't have to worry about anyone else. You don't have to walk in intimidation from your boss or your family members or anybody else because you spent time with the King of Kings. As somebody said this, anyone who knows how to kneel before God can stand before any other human being without intimidation. I want you to get that into your heart and remember that. The fifth thing we need to do is we need to pray with persistence. I hear people say, hey, well, you just name it and claim it. You pray for it, and then you don't have to pray for it anymore. You know, God's answer's coming. If you prayed for it, God's going to answer it. And so I don't believe that. I believe we've got to pray with persistency. You know, Elijah knew that God wanted to make it rain, and God had said, hey, I'm going to make it rain. And so Elijah, when he prayed, he said this, go out and look towards the sea to his servant. And the servant went and looked and said, I don't see anything. Seven times Elijah had him do that. Seven times Elijah kept praying. Jesus even told a story, a parable about a woman who was going to an unjust judge, and she just stayed persistent, and that judge finally answered her request. And let me tell you something. We need to be persistent in our prayer. Matter of fact, Paul said in Colossians, he said, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. We need to be devoted to prayer. And in Isaiah, it says this, so the Lord must wait for you to come to Him so he can show you his love and compassion. God just, he's waiting for you and me to turn back to him so that he can just show us his love. He can show us his compassion. He can bless us. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait on him for his help. You see, God, listen, too often we think that God's delays are God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. Sometimes he says, wait. You devote yourself in prayer. You press into him in prayer and wait for his help. Let me tell you something. God wants to answer your prayer. Matter of fact, prayer is this. Jesus said this about prayer. He said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. He didn't say just ask. Some translations say ask. But the true rendering in Greek would be this. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. Let me tell you something. You know, he wants you to keep asking. I don't know why he didn't just answer it the first time, you know, always. But, you know, Elijah, who was definitely right with God, had to pray seven times. But we need to, you know, here it says on the seventh time, his servant came and told him that, you know, that he was, that God was, he saw a cloud, that God was answering his prayer. And so I don't know why he didn't always answer it the first time, but here's what I know. He'll answer your prayers. You'll answer your prayers. We're all in need of God to answer our prayers. Our nation is, our families are, and we are as individuals. And so whether or not God blesses our nation or not, you know, one of the things that's kind of scary in end time prophecy is we're not mentioned in end time prophecy. So I know at some point our country that I love is going to go through some more difficult times than we ever imagined, and we won't be there to help Israel out. But I know this, that God will send refreshing into your heart and into your spirit. God will send personal revival into your life and into your spirit. And your job is simply this. It's not to ask for revival. God wants to give you revival. It's to open yourself up to his refreshing and allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. One last scripture, and I'm going to be done. Isaiah 44 says this. For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. He says this, they will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Do you want to thrive like watered grass? We need to be people who pray like Elijah has prayed today. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you a quick opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want you to, unless you're driving, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head right now. And I want you just to simply pray this simple prayer. It's not magic, but if you mean this in your heart, that you're tired of getting, you're tired of being afraid, you're tired of being worried, you're tired of feeling guilty, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. And as best I can, I give you control over my life because I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, Jesus came into your life. You now belong to him, and he'll give you the power. He'll give you the ability to pray prayers like Elijah did, prayers that get answered. I want to pray one prayer as we get ready to dismiss. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Pastor Kathy and I love you so much, and we look forward to being able to have church in our building, but we're having church right here, right now. So, Father, I pray blessings on each person that's hearing my voice. I pray blessings in their lives. God, I pray for healing of sicknesses. I pray for healing of this virus. Lord, I pray for jobs to be restored, businesses to be restored, and to flourish, God. God, I pray that you give back to people what they have lost 100 times over. And God, we'll give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us here in our living room at River Church Live. Oh. You doing better?